It's the countdown to Christmas.
Yes, the time has come.
5 episodes to go.
Until all the holly jolly fun.
Sit back and listen.
I bet you don't know.
About how Gene Hillard froze in the snow. Welcome back to the Bug in a Rug podcast. As always, my name's Caitlin.
As usual, I'm Whitney.
And we would like to welcome you to our second episode of the Countdown to Christmas.
Countdown to Christmas!
It's almost here!
It's very close.
It is very close.
Snuck up on us a little bit.
It did. I wasn't ready to count the table 50 points. Jinx, you only said a... Is that a thing? If someone says jinx, listeners, please let us know. Is it fair game to put your finger on your nose and say, this jinx machine is out of order, press a button, get a quarter?
Yes, that's the only way you could unjinx yourself. Otherwise, someone has to see your name. Where were you when we were growing up?
No, I know that's real, but like, is that a thing or did we just do it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Oh, what's he doing? There's a hair on his nose. There's a fluff on his nose when it's red. You can see it.
Oh, sure is. Hold still, Bubba. Did I get it?
Did you get it? Yeah, I think so. It was going in and out when he breathed in and out of his nose.
I don't know where it went, but...
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Before we get started, I want to give a shout-out. I know we did this on social media already, but I want to give a shout-out to Rachel Keeney, who designed an awesome Secret Santa gift for myself. The image of the bug... on the rug. You can go check it out. And we want to plug all of her stuff, all of her wonderful artwork that she does. So please, please, please go check out all of her stuff. If you want to see what she does, you can go to her Instagram. It's keeney.design, keeney.design. She also has an Etsy shop, so you can search for her on Etsy. She also has a website. That is the same thing, I believe.
Right. So her website is keeney.design again. And yeah. The Etsy, it's www.etsy.com/shop/keeneydesign.
Yes. So please go check her out. She does awesome work. I mean, I follow her and I think she does a great job. And I absolutely love the picture. I've been showing it to everyone, literally everyone. It is sitting right behind me on our plant stand. I'm going to get it framed. I'm going to hang it up.
It's well in view and it watches over us as we record the podcast that is its namesake. Yeah, this is such a cool gift for Caitlin, although I believe it's for the Bug in the Rug podcast as a whole.
Yes, it is. Because she also gave me Scooby-Doo stuff, which I've been using every single day. So
you,
I got lucky.
It's really hard to get you to take off the Scooby-Doo hat that she gave you.
That's true. It is. It is very hard to take off.
Here's another... a debate. We can start a debate right now.
Okay.
Your Scooby-Doo hat.
Yeah.
What type of hat is it?
A toboggan or beanie.
Well, we say toboggan.
Toboggan. But that's a type of sled, actually.
But that's a
right?
type of sled. And there were so many people in college that were mad because they thought that was a sled and why didn't we just say beanie, but...
I've never said beanie.
To me, beanies are like the ones that are looser.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I never really wore... I'm not a hat person, but the Scooby-Doo one, really. This one, and I only have 3 hats that I've ever really worn a lot in my lifetime. Scooby-Doo one's one of them. I just got that one.
Disclaimer, any jingle-jangling, scritchy-scratching, or pitter-pattering in the background is probably a cat. And remember, for every 2 or 3 cat sounds you hear, there's 5 or 6 more that we've cut out, so... We hope you love them as much as we do.
Yep, our parents made a game that if you heard a cat in the background, you had to take a shot.
I don't think they actually do that.
That'd be funny,
They've
though.
They've threatened several times, but I don't think they've actually done it.
Another announcement that I want to make before we begin is that there's a new addition to our family.
Oh, yeah.
I purchased a fish. His
you
name
make
is...
make it sound like one of us is pregnant.
No, but he is my child.
No human babies were made for the sake of this podcast.
No, I bought a fish, though. His name is Greg Hightower Bramble Pelt. He gets by Greg.
He does. That's how he chooses to be addressed.
If you want to see him, I do have an Instagram for our cat/fish. It's fins_and_whiskers on Instagram. Go check that out. Little plug if you want to see more of our stuff. Rachel actually follows us because she has one of her own. Tabby's of Pittsburgh.
We're plugging all kinds of stuff today.
Well, she deserves it. Now that we're done with all that nonsense.
So, to the core of why I brought you here today.
Why did you bring me here today?
I brought you here today, and today specifically, because this weekend will be the anniversary of the date that this happened, that our story took place.
Ooh, what story?
So, today we're going to talk about Jean Hillard.
Okay.
Who is known as the girl who froze solid and came back to life.
Ooh.
Not Princess Elsa. Not Anna. Anna froze solid and then came back to life, actually.
She did.
Not her.
In science lab.
We don't want to talk about this.
Froze crickets.
Yeah.
And.
Monica cried this day.
Brought them back to life.
You gonna stop there?
Yes. That's it. That's all we did.
She cried twice that day.
If you guys ever did this experiment, give us a shout out. Like, tell us, because you know. You know.
You know what happened
You know
next.
What happened next.
You know the rest of you know the story.
But we're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about it. What we're going to talk about is Jean Hillard. But before that, I want to start with where our story takes place, which is Lingby, Minnesota. Lengby. So, Lingby, Minnesota was first settled in 1883 by Swedish settlers. It was incorporated as a town in 1904 and is in the northwest corner of Minnesota.
Okay.
Some sources say...
Minnesota. Is that the right accent?
Oh, I have no idea. Okay. That sounds German to me. Yeah.
Yeah, big summer blowout.
yeah, big summer blowout. It's... We got a lot of frozen.
I was just going to say that.
The source that I was reading said north central Minnesota, but if you look at a map, it's definitely towards the top left corner.
People think West Virginia is east, west, north, south.
Yeah,
so.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We're technically...
Depends on your perspective.
Most people think we're part of Virginia, so...
We're not.
Side note, I had a long conversation with Ben, my friend Ben, and his wife Laura... And my other friend, Samira, mm-hmm. about the flag that says, don't tread on me.
No, it's a snake.
Right. Where do you think that comes from?
I used to know, but I'm not good. It's about a group made it, right? Made the flag. It's not used for what
it's
it was before,
vague.
Right?
You're being very vague.
Because I don't know.
I thought...
Hey, a group made the flag, right? Someone invented that flag.
So we all had different opinions. I'm going to tell you what our opinions were.
Did I have to do the military? No.
Let me tell you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Stop guessing. So we all had different opinions. So these were the three different opinions. You tell me which one was mine.
Okay.
Three different opinions were it's what the Marine Corps uses. It's just Virginians in general and the Tea Party. Guess which one was mine.
The Tea Party?
Nope.
Marine Corps?
Nope.
What is wrong with you? Only Virginians, even though I've seen it elsewhere.
I thought it was like the flag of Virginia.
With the snake that says don't tread on me? What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I don't know where it came from. I knew it wasn't that, though.
So when we looked it up, it was basically created as like a Marine Corps type of thing, and then the Tea Party adopted it, so it kind of was those two things. So by the end of the conversation and us looking up, I was like, oh great, everybody in the car is right except for me.
I just thought
it was Virginia. I said
military, so I'm kind of right.
I think the first time I probably saw it is when we went to Virginia Beach, and it just was
guys, I didn't do great in history class.
Well, clearly I didn't either.
Yeah.
Don't tread on me, Virginia.
Virginia.
It's Virginians in general. It's the flag of Virginia.
I thought snakes made it.
I was adamant.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. That's why I'm telling you now in front of God and all our listeners.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, Lingby, Minnesota. And I bring this up also because Minnesota is the home of Ben and Laura.
Minnesota.
Our friends Ben and Laura. Shout out to them.
Ben, send us a recording of how you say Minnesota in a really Minnesotan accent.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
That's probably not right. Minipop.
What?
Pop or soda. Minipop.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
It's getting worse. Anyway, so Lingby, Minnesota. This is in part of Polk County.
Okay.
It's made up of a lot of forest, lakes, and farmlands. It is 17 hours and 20 minutes from Wheeling.
Why'd you look that up? Oh, because... No, I don't know why you looked that up.
That's how far Ben and Laura will have to drive to get home.
Oh, okay. They're from there?
No, they're not from this county, oh. So that's probably not true. But it takes 17 hours and 20 minutes to drive there from Wheeling, which is where we are, and it takes 1 hour and 20 minutes from the biggest city that I could find near there, which is Grand Forks, North Dakota, not even part of Minnesota, but wow. It's right on the border.
Okay.
So on the map, it looked like it was there.
Yeah.
So I picked it anyway.
I got you. Fine.
So 1 hour and 21 minutes from Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay.
And then I don't think I've ever met anyone from North Dakota or South Dakota.
North Dakota.
We can't just say everything in a German accent. You just like that's the how L, the Midwesterners, like Midwesterners don't talk in a German accent. Anyway, so our story takes place in 1980. In 1980, the population of Lingby, Minnesota was 123 people. Nowadays,
123
people. Yes,
that's it.
Yes. Well, nowadays it's like low 80s.
How big is this place?
Oh, well, one of my sources said that the town itself is 0.29 square miles, which I don't think is true.
That makes sense then.
For 123 people, 0.29 square miles. I think that it's probably somewhere along the way people are confused.
It's just a main street.
Yeah, I mean the town itself is very small, but like if you're looking at the people that say they're from there, it's probably a little bit outside.
Well, it could be like they're not counting the exact borders.
Of the city itself. Of the city. Right.
They're like, yeah, we live there, but they're really like a little bit outside.
Well, like our home address is not the city we live in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So anyway, 1980, Lingby, Minnesota. And the protagonist of our story is Miss Jean Hillard.
Yes.
And if she's the protagonist...
Who's the antagonist?
The negative 22 degree Fahrenheit weather.
Okay, so what's the plot? How do we get there?
That's it. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. So Jean Hillard was 19 years old in 1980 and living... she was a native of Lingby. And on December 20th, 1980, she went out with her friends to the Foston American Legion, which was like the local hangout for young folks.
Okay.
In town. It was the coolest hangout in town.
Hell yeah.
It was negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit this night in Lingby, which is, you know, freezing. Yeah, I can't even imagine it being wind that chill. Cold. Yeah, and I don't know with or without wind chill. There's a cat in a tree. How many points is that?
God, I don't know. I just saw him run past the couch.
So, Jean Hillard left the bar that evening in her dad's Ford LTD. So, this is a car. And it had no anti-lock brakes. It had rear-wheel drive. And so it was horrible on the icy roads.
Anti-lock's like when you get a slam on the brakes, it like... Yeah?
Cooper's howling. Yes. Yeah. It like... You would want anti-lock brakes and you would want four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
On icy roads in the winter.
Or all-wheel or something like that.
Right. And these were rear-wheel drive.
That's a bad car.
No anti-lock brake. Bad car for where they were.
Maybe a nice car for the time, though. Popular car. You know what I mean?
It could have been.
It's popular.
It could have been. But unfortunately for Jean, this is what she was driving when her car slid into a ditch.
Oh, okay.
She was leaving town. Her car slid into a ditch. And she didn't panic, though. She's like, oh, it'll be fine. My friend Wally Nelson lives...
Wait.
Yeah, Wally Nelson.
Okay.
Similar to the country music singer Willie Nelson, but not him.
Okay, no relation.
I know, it took me a while. I've got through with a straight face. Why'd you have to bring
sorry,
it up?
Sorry. Go.
So Jean knew her friend Wally Nelson, not Willie Nelson, lived about 2 miles down the road. And she knew him really well. At the time, she was actually dating his best friend, so they were buds.
Okay.
So she thought, okay, well, it's no big deal. My car's in the ditch, but I can make it to Wally's house.
Right. Walking,
yeah. Okay. So she got out and began trekking through the snow in her cowboy boots.
Okay. I was going to say what she was wearing.
But remember, it was negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit.
So this probably won't help you.
She began getting really frustrated because it was dark out. It was really cold. This is before cell phones were a thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she is trying to find her way there. And when asked about it later, she said, I'd get over the hill thinking I'd be able to see his place, mm-hmm. and then it wouldn't be there. And I'm going to get over the next hill, and it wouldn't be there.
Well, 2 miles is a long time walking if you're in snow and stuff.
Right, and being that cold.
Cowboy boots, if they were fancy going out cowboy boots, I'm sure they're slippery, too. Like, I'm sure there was no, like,
right.
They weren't great for, those boots weren't made for walking.
They sure weren't.
Maybe they were. I don't know. It depends on what kind, I guess.
And I don't know. I just, it says she was wearing cowboy boots, so not equipped for the snow.
No. Yeah, if they were going to the local hangout, I'm sure she wasn't dressed for winter.
Right. Wasn't driving the right car for it either, but that's beside the point. So by the time Jean finally saw the lights of Wally's place, she said she came over the hill, saw the lights, and then everything just went black.
No.
Yeah, so this is where things actually get a little bit weird.
Okay.
At least from what I've seen, all sources say the same thing, and it's just very strange. Wally Nelson woke up on December 21st with, quote, the woman he brought home the night before, end quote.
Okay. Little hookup at the bar, 1 night stand, whatever.
Right. He said he saw a little hunk in the snow about 15 feet from his door.
What? That close?
He realized it was coat and mittens and recognized immediately it was Jean with her eyes wide open.
Oh, God.
I know.
Oh, could you imagine?
I'd say I get chills, but the story's about being frozen, so I don't feel like that's all right. Wally, I keep wanting to call him Willie, Mr. Nelson said, quote, I grabbed her by the collar and skidded her into the porch. I thought she was dead. Froze stiffer than a board, but I saw a few bubbles coming out of her nose.
Okay, so she's still breathing, maybe?
There were still signs of life.
Right.
But she was frozen solid.
Right.
He and his lady friend then were like, okay, we gotta get her to the hospital. Mm-hmm. How do we do this? And they realized she would not fit into the cab of his pickup truck because of small it was in the back and how she was frozen.
Right, how she was sitting or laying.
So they had to take the woman's car.
Okay. She's a hero.
Right. I mean, they say that this was really awkward that he had to ask this lady that he had brought home to use her car, so I guess they didn't know each other.
She's a nice lady and a hero, and whoever she is, thank you.
Exactly. So it took 10 minutes to get to the nearest hospital, and when they got there, the doctors were not optimistic.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Her body temperature was so low that a thermometer couldn't register it. I don't know how low it takes for that to happen. They said her skin was grayish and her eyes were unreactive to light.
Yeah, well, they were probably frozen, right?
Yeah, but you'd think your pupils would still be able to dilate.
Yeah, but your eyes have, like, tears in there, like, liquid, so they...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how...
I don't know science.
...temperature affects it. I don't know science.
I have a biology degree, but I don't know science.
I don't know about flags, but I don't have a geography degree, so I don't know why everyone's hating.
Is that geography?
No. Maps and stuff is geography.
Flags aren't.
Flags of countries, of places.
Whatever.
It's not a place.
Whatever.
Alright, so anyway, the doctor started slowly trying to rewarm her body with heating pads.
Yeah.
They got her temperature up to 88 degrees Fahrenheit, which was still 10 degrees below what normal would be.
Yeah.
And they started to get a faint pulse. Her pulse was 12 beats per minute at this point. So a normal pulse ranges between 60 to 100 beats per minute. If you have a lower heart rate at rest, you probably are somebody that's like a runner or an athlete. Your heart's just more efficient, but 12 is way too low.
12 is not like functioning properly.
Well, I mean, she was frozen.
Yeah.
After about 2 to 3 hours of thawing, Jean started to whimper. You could hear sounds from her.
Well, I mean, you think about it. When your hands are cold and then they start to warm up, it hurts.
Dr. Sather, S-A-T-H-E-R, was the attending physician and said, quote, it was like taking a piece of meat out of a deep freeze.
Yeah.
I don't like that quote. I don't think he should have referred to her that way, but that was... the way he described, like, the texture of her body and the way they were looking at it.
What else would you go off of, though? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's no other, this is like that one time somebody else got frozen. You know what I mean? Like, you don't.
Right. It was kind of uncharted territory for these particular doctors, is what it seemed like in my research. But they, like I said, they weren't optimistic. But as they started to thaw her, they had more and more signs of life. Mm-hmm. By the time she was thawing, like I said, 2 to 3 hours after thawing, she started to whimper. And then as she thawed even more, her muscles started to spasm. Mm. By 12 noon, she was talking coherently about how she was worried her dad was going to be mad that his car was wrecked.
Oh, that'd be me, though. I know. It would be me, too. Oh, God, you're 19. You're like, no.
She was so upset that her dad was going to be mad about his car that she just wasn't even worried about herself.
And the doctors are like, you don't understand, like, how serious this is. You don't know what just happened. Like, you know what just happened?
Right. So, even though she was frozen for about 6 hours, Jean's memory of the ordeal was kind of, to her, she said it was disappointing.
She didn't remember it?
No, because she didn't see a light or anything. She felt like she fell asleep and just woke up. Oh. She said, quote, I didn't see a light or anything like that. It was kind of disappointing. So many people talk about that, and I didn't get anything, end quote. So this woman has a near-death experience and is mad.
She's like, there's nothing.
And is disappointed that she didn't see the light.
I mean, yeah.
Girl, this doctor was calling you a piece of meat. Frozen piece of meat. And you're upset that you didn't see a light.
She wanted something. A dream.
Lucky to be alive.
True.
So, there have been other cases like this through the years. Justin Smith, 25, was found frozen on February 2015 after walking home from a party in sub-zero weather. He was frozen for 12 hours with a body temperature at 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The doctor slowly rewarmed him, and he was in a coma for 2 weeks, but he recovered all function. And those doctors said that was the lowest body temperature they had recorded in somebody who then was able to come back.
Right.
Jean herself was able to recover all function. Mm-hmm. You know, with these kinds of things, you worry about the brain not getting enough oxygen or blood supply and shutting down or frostbite. Yeah. But for the most part, she made a full recovery. Right. I've found pictures of her that I'll post mm-hmm. that from when she was older with her family. So she, you know, was very, very lucky. I wanted to talk a little bit about how your body reacts when it starts to get cold like
I was going to say, like, how did these people survive, but some other people that are out in the weather like that don't? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's
how do they not get, like, hypothermia or something like that?
Well, they kind of do. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about. I tried to do some research on the science behind this, but it's not fully understood.
Okay.
So hypothermia is considered anything below 95 degrees Fahrenheit in the body.
Wow, okay.
Right, so it doesn't take much to be considered hypothermia.
So they definitely had hypothermia.
Oh, they definitely did. They just had some other stuff going on, too.
Did their fingers or nose get
frostbite? Yeah. She didn't have... Nothing that I saw in reports said that she had frostbite, but I don't know how she wouldn't have had frostbite and been frozen solid. The signs of hypothermia include shivering, which could stop as the hypothermia progresses. Mm-hmm. And shivering, we have to remember, is a really good thing.
Because it's helping you warm up.
Right. Your body's like, oh, we're cold. We need to do something about it. So it you shiver to try and regulate your
heat system. To get you warm.
Right. Exactly. Other signs of hypothermia include slow, shallow breathing, confusion and memory loss, drowsiness or exhaustion, slurred or mumbled speech, loss of coordination, fumbling with your hands, like not being able to hold on to things, stumbling steps, a weak, slow pulse, and in severe hypothermia, you can be unconscious without obvious signs of breathing or a pulse.
Okay.
So she probably had most of these.
Yeah.
Especially since she didn't remember anything other than, like, the light going away.
Yeah.
And then waking up. She had drowsiness and exhaustion. When she was found in the snow, it looked like she had crawled a couple feet before she...
Yeah.
Just completely collapsed. Loss of coordination, fumbling hands, stumbling steps. She probably had these things as she was walking.
Right, right, right.
But there's other things.
And then it just got worse and worse and worse until she was unconscious.
Right, until she became unconscious. So she had severe hypothermia.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other people, or scientists says that are looking into this, think that certain people, their body switches into a state of hibernation. Oh. Or almost a suspended animation that they can't fully understand.
Okay.
So, basically what happens is once you get below 82 degrees Fahrenheit, you're considered to have severe hypothermia.
Yeah.
But your metabolism slows way, way down, and your blood slows down, and your organs slow down, and you need less oxygen because everything's moving so much slower.
Yeah, yeah. Like hibernation, essentially.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. It's what it is. It is.
Yeah.
Your vessels, blood vessels will constrict to preserve the blood flow to the brain. The brain's really selfish. So your brain wants all the oxygen, and it will sacrifice anything else to keep itself alive.
Yeah.
So your blood flow is first going to be cut off from your extremities, from your hands and your feet.
That's how you get frostbite.
Exactly. Because the blood flow is cut off from there, and as it moves inward,
goes to your core.
Right. So the last organs to be shut down are going to be your heart and your brain.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a sort of suspended animation that is created. And some people, it seems, are able to do this. Their bodies are able to do this, and some aren't.
Yeah.
Hypothermia affects people differently depending on what type of temperature that they're used to. So it's just like with your heart rate. If your heart's used to higher pressure situations, mm-hmm. or more exercise and exertion,
you might be better off.
Right. It gets used to it, so you have a slower heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
If you're used to being in the cold all the time and your body's used to it, it's okay with a lower temperature.
Right, right, right. Because you're already at the lower temperature. So your body... So for, like, us, that would be, like, way colder than for somebody who lives in that temperature all the time.
Exactly. So the one thing I found that was kind of crazy to me is that the human heart usually stops when your body temperature is around 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Wait, how long has she got low to... But I didn't even read it, right?
It couldn't register. Now, when they started to warm her up, she got to about 88 mm-hmm. degrees Fahrenheit when they got
that one guy was 60-something, though.
That guy was 68 degrees Fahrenheit, yeah. Which is why they were amazed that he survived it. Now, he ended up in a coma for a while.
So he's a little different.
But the fact that he had no brain damage, mm-hmm. no real loss of function, was really lucky. He's lucky to be alive, yeah. But he probably had a body that was able to adapt
better
to colder temperatures, and he just barely survived
yeah.
his heart stopping.
Right, right.
But I mean, it could have stopped most of the way, but luckily he was able
had that little kick in him.
Right, yeah. Right. So it may have just been, you know, his growing up where he was. If you took somebody that's used to warm weather and transplant them into that situation, we don't know if they would be as lucky.
Right.
Is basically what scientists say.
Interesting.
So, I found this case really interesting, partially because of the science around it, and yeah. Sorry if it became a little bit science-y.
No, that's for people, the point, though.
But I found it really interesting because, you know, some people are able to do this and some people aren't.
Yeah.
And doctors don't really have a great way of dealing with it just because it happens to so few people where they're able to survive.
Mystery.
Right. But Jean Hitlard, you know, I cannot find anything about her life after this.
Yeah.
Other than she survived.
She's normal.
And yeah, it's been almost... Next year will be 40 years since this happened to her. And mm-hmm. she's still alive. And yeah. she's still doing well. As far as I can find. And she lived a pretty... ordinary life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say... I don't want to make her sound like she's ordinary.
No, for someone who came close to death... That's what you want. I feel like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was disappointing for her, but she was able to go on just living.
Another day.
But she was able to go on living, and the fact that she woke up is just incredible.
Yeah.
There's a picture of her in the newspaper with her parents on either side of her, so for anybody who was worried, I don't think the dad was mad about the car.
Yeah, was he mad?
If anything, I think he should have been looking for a four-wheel drive car after this.
Oh, happened. Yeah, he's probably like, we're getting a new car. We're getting a truck.
Yep. So, I was excited to tell the story because I thought it would be the 40th anniversary of it happening. It's, no, because December 20th, it's the 19th, or the 39th anniversary.
Yeah, but it's still that weekend.
Right, yeah. So, I was glad that we could put this episode out mm-hmm. now. And kind of
talk
about it. It's
a good PSA for everybody to be careful in the cold weather.
Bundle up.
Whether you're driving or walking or anything, wear the proper attire.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful while you're driving in your cars. Make sure you get winter tires, all that jazz.
Don't wear cowboy boots.
I mean, if they're made or have for the
a
snow.
Change, have a change of boots in the car. And a blanket.
Yeah. Yes, be very, very careful.
Be prepared, be prepared. Anyway, after listening to all of this, I have to ask, who wore it better, Anna or Jean Hillard?
What?
Anna from Frozen or Jean Hillard?
Jean Hillard, obviously.
She was frozen for 6 hours. Anna was frozen for like a Five minute seconds. And a half.
5 seconds. And then she punched Hans.
Did she?
Yeah, off the boat.
Oh, yeah. Get it, girl. But anyway, so the real question is, do you think this story will keep you up at night, or will you still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug?
This story does kind of scare me because, I'll tell you why. I'm cold right now.
I'm always cold
and
right
it's
now.
Like
a, that doesn't make sense.
I'm always cold right now. I am always cold, like colder than you.
I'm usually hot, but right now I'm cold, which I think it's because of this story.
In general, like, I feel like I can't do cold weather. And so if this, like, anything like this ever happens to me, I know my body wouldn't go into hibernation because I'm already cold. So a few degrees lower than this, there's no way.
Maybe you being cold now is preparing you for if you're in this situation.
My body's always ready to shut down and go into hibernation.
Your body's constantly ready for hibernation.
That's scary. And it's so scary, too, because she was so close. Like, she was so close to his house.
Yeah, she was within
15 feet? Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's why it's... I think that... You know how sometimes you are so close to something that you just get that relief in your body. You're just like,
yeah,
so,
you're
get
like,
so
I'm
tired.
Yeah.
I think that her body, her adrenaline probably just wore off because she's like, okay, I'm here.
Well,
and she just didn't make it.
It's something that could happen to anybody. You know, you're driving on the icy roads, you know, you hit a bad spot, go into a ditch. Then what are you going to do? If you're nowhere close to anything, you know what I mean? You have to make that decision to stay in your car or go somewhere or...
I've seen a lot of posts lately that say, be safe on the roads or call me when you get home is West Virginian for I love you.
Yeah.
Because anytime you leave somebody from West Virginia during the wintertime, they're going to say, hey, be careful out there, or let me know when you get back that you make it safe. And it's true.
Especially in winter.
Everybody's so aware of it now. And it seems like this was just a bad... situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're lucky we have the ability to, you know, text or call if something happens. Some people have AAA or OnStar or whatever, so.
Yep.
We're lucky, but at the same time.
Anything can happen. Gotta be careful.
Anything can happen. Any of us could freeze at any time.
Yeah.
One of the scientists was
so,
like.
So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. One of the scientists, as I was reading, literally said, if bears can hibernate, why do we think that we can't? And I was just, clearly some of us can.
Yeah, but not everybody can, yeah.
But I just don't know how bears can do it and we can't. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, but they prepare. They, like, get ready for hibernation.
So do we need to start, how do we prepare?
Well, they, like, eat a lot.
There's some studies now, I don't know how in-depth they are, where they've tried to put people into suspended animation in this way.
That's scary.
It is. Well, there are several posts. I'm not going to go into it a lot. There are a lot of articles that say that scientists have been able to put humans into suspended animation by flushing their system with freezing saline. So you're able to cool their body temperature to the point where they're basically going into hibernation, like what happened here in this story.
And then what happens? Like, what's the point? Just to see if they could do it and survive?
Yeah, and probably to see if they're able to preserve them. It's kind of like the space movies that you see, where you
go
into suspended...
Who volunteered to do that?
I don't know.
You want to get $50?
All right, so it looks like... It says at least one person has undergone this technique, which involves replacing their blood with cold saline for up to 2 hours. It allows surgeons time to perform a procedure that could save their life before they were to bleed out.
But if they don't have blood, then what happens?
If you cool their body temperature, they don't need the extra blood.
Because it is a pump.
Right. So,
oh, gosh. Okay.
The weird part about this article says that patients are not voluntarily taking part in this trial, but are given this treatment after arriving at the hospital in critical condition. So, like, they think...
Oh, well, if it's like, okay, they're going to die unless we do this.
Either we do this and it saves them, or or they die.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a very interesting...
That's a little different than, okay, going to sleep now. Yeah. That's terrifying.
But this is, I mean, this is science that's taking place in 2019.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's good stuff, I'm sure. I just don't want to do that. Unless it'll save my life, but I don't want to volunteer to be like, replace my blood with saline while I'm awake and conscious and know you're doing it.
Oh, no, they're not awake. No.
And you're not, in a, yeah.
I'm upset that they said they're not doing this to try and send people to Saturn.
We're going to Mars.
Then why are we doing it? I have another question for
what? Oh, my God.
Was this story chilling?
I can't. Stop it. Get out of here.
So good. Ice, baby. That was my story about Gene Hillard in Lingby, Minnesota. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope it wasn't too science-y for you guys.
No, I'm fascinated.
I found it really, really interesting, partially because I find all medical things interesting, but partially because, you know, this happened to a real person just randomly, and, you know. She came back to life and is doing really well. And it's happened to other people, too. I didn't look at all the stories because there's a ton.
But, yeah, I'm sure.
But anyway, so I guess the question is to our listeners, did this story chill you to the bone? And will it keep you up at night? Did it make your blood run cold?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Or were you still sleeping snug as a bug in a rug?
Let us know. Let us know on our Facebook, Bug in a Rug, our Instagram or Twitter, at BIAR Podcast. Look for pictures on there. You can find our resources at our website, buginarug.podbean.com. We're still giving away stickers. If you leave a review on Facebook or Apple Podcasts, screenshot it, send it to us on one of those, you know, forms, and we'll send you a sticker.
A free sticker.
Free sticker.
It takes you probably 3 minutes tops to leave a review and send us a screenshot. Yep. It takes us blood, sweat, and tears to put a sticker in an envelope, put your address on it, and send it to you.
If we get paper cuts, then yes.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Thank you for joining us for the second episode of our Christmas countdown.
Countdown to Christmas.
Countdown to Christmas.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
With another episode. You guys are getting a lot of bug in a rug this week.
Yes.
So in the meantime, we hope you are still able to sleep as snug as bugs in a rug. And we will see you tomorrow.
Signing off. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Whitney.
Bye.
Sleep tight.